Well, guess what? I'm gonna shift gears. Sorry, Daryl. I was gonna preach on Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 through 24 until about 30 seconds ago. Just given everything that's going on right now in our world, in our country, and I know probably most of you are perplexed like me about all this. In some ways, I'm angry. In some ways, I just can't believe maybe the ignorance of people in this world. And sometimes we just don't quite know how to respond. My daughter, and love her to death, but she's one of the most anxious people I've ever met in my life. She makes my anxiety look calm, okay? But we were sitting at the table yesterday, or we were sitting at the table Friday. We went to Panera's. That's how much I think about the coronavirus. We went to Panera's and we had dinner. And she looked up at me at one point and she goes, "Dad, I can feel my anxiety just welling up inside me." And I understand it. You know, the two kids have been sick for about the last, probably 10 days or more. The littlest one, he had the flu, just the regular flu. And they put him on antibiotics and different things. And then the other one's been running a fever for, you know, the last 4 or 5 days, 6 days. And she's, "Dad, it has me worried because, you know, they got fevers and this coronavirus and all this stuff. And I'm just worried to death." And I get it. I understand. And I'm guessing that there's a lot of people in the world right now that, man, their anxiety is like peaked out at the very top. And what's strange to me is my anxiety has not shifted at all. 3 months ago, I was extremely anxious. I was struggling with this stuff. Man, I'm like, psh. What do we do? How do we respond to this as Christians, okay, as believers? How do we respond to everything that's going on in our world, around us, in our neighborhoods, all that's on the media? But the other side of that is, how do we respond to this as the Church of Christ, as the Bride of Christ? Because I'll tell you what, right now, the world is watching Christians. They're watching how we respond to this. I can just picture it, going to Walmart, and somebody wearing that T-shirt that on the back says "Trust Jesus," and they got a shopping cart full of toilet paper, you know, 120 rolls. There's where all that toilet paper went. I wonder what the world thinks about us right now. And I can't help but think that, you know, bottom line is, it's all the enemy. It's all the enemy. Satan has won some minor battles today because there's some churches that shut down. But what do we do? The only thing I can tell you is turn in your Bible to Psalm 91. I'm going to tell you what I think we need to do over the next couple days, over the next couple weeks. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. We're going to read through that real quickly. And then I just want to point some things out this morning. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but you will not come. But it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. I think there's some things we can learn from this today. First thing I think of when I read the text is it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. I don't know about you, but long time, it's been several years ago. Anybody familiar with the old Reddick High School up in Reddick? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Brad knows what I'm talking about. Old building, I think that thing was built like back in the 30s or something. They took us up there years ago when we were doing training. And it was us against the SWAT team. You can imagine how that ended up. Long, long hallways. We had never been in there before. We don't know the building. And they give us what we call simunitions. So we actually used our regular guns, and we put this simunition in there. And what it is it looks just like a 45 bullet. But the tip of it was a plastic pellet of paint. And I'll just tell you right now, they hurt worse than a paintball. And they tell us the bad guys are somewhere in there. Go get them. You're doing pretty good. You're pumped up before you go in. And you get to the doorway, and we did a demonstration here years ago where how you make entry into a room as a law enforcement officer or as military. And you got one guy on each side. You're going into this room. You got one guy on that side of the doorway, one guy on this side, and you got your gun up and ready. And then you say, okay, this guy, he comes and he breaks in, he goes that way. You break in this way, and you're constantly covering each other. But let me tell you what, when you leave the cover of that wall, there ain't no going back. You're in the fight. 110%. Just like in war, when you leave the foxhole, you've left your coverage. You've left your safety. So where you are at any particular time, let me tell you what, it's important. I don't know about you, but I lived in China. And when I saw what was going on in Wuhan at the very outset of it, I'm going, I'm glad I'm not in China anymore. I'm glad I'm over here where it's safe. Why would you want to go dwell in China at the height of all this? Well, I just got to tell you that at the height of SARS in 2003, guess who was in China with their family in Hong Kong, the epicenter of SARS, and then a little bit later on, the epicenter of the avian flu that broke out over there. Was I afraid then? I wasn't afraid. I'm still not afraid. And I think it goes back to what this text is telling me. What it's telling us today. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Where are you dwelling today? And I'm not talking about physically, where are you dwelling today? I know where most of you live. I know your house. I know your neighborhoods. I'm not asking about where are you dwelling physically. Where are you dwelling? See, when anxiety kicks in and all those things, we have to stop and ask ourselves, where is my heart dwelling right now? What am I dwelling on? Because listen, anxiety and fear, that doesn't point to a place where you're dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. See, at the end of the day, when all this is said and done, you're going to find me dwelling in the shelter of my God. And one thing I want to let you know real quick, because I don't think it's taught in the text, and I've seen some people use it like this here recently. This doesn't mean that you're not going to get coronavirus. It means that God's sovereign. But what's important is, where's my heart going to dwell during this time? Am I going to find myself dwelling in the shelter of my God? It's important that we know where we dwell today. Am I walking with Jesus? Am I walking with the God of all creation who is sovereign over this coronavirus today? Am I dwelling in His presence in my heart? And see, he goes on and he says, the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's where I want to find myself today. Regardless of what goes on in this world, regardless of whether or not I catch coronavirus or I go out to 41 and I make a right-hand turn and I get blasted by a tractor trailer, you're going to find me dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. You're going to find me abiding in the shadow of the God of the universe. And that in and of itself should take away all anxiety and all fear. And every one of you can come up and punch me in the head after we're done, because y'all know what I went through a couple months ago when I was so sick and I was so anxious. So, wait a second. Wait, hold off until the coronavirus is gone, then come punch me, okay? Well, we're going to play it safe, remember? See, I don't know how we get by on any given day, coronavirus or no coronavirus, without dwelling in the shelter of the God of creation. I don't know how we make it through any circumstance, any situation, any illness, any trauma in our life, without abiding in the shadow of the Almighty God. So that's the first thing I can think of, is I'm going to dwell in the right place. I'm going to abide in the right place. You know, most of the problems that we find ourselves in on any given day, it's because we're not where we're supposed to be. My kids to this day still get mad at me because I'll tell them, look, be home by 9 o'clock. Dad, I'm 30 years old and you're telling me to be home by 9 o'clock? Yes, son, I'm telling you, be home by 9 o'clock. Dad, I know what happens after 9-10 o'clock at night. Those places that you dwell at 7 o'clock at night, they're not such good places sometimes at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So where we find ourselves dwelling says a lot about what we subject ourselves to. I don't know how, and I know there's people in this room, you can't tell me that you don't. There's at least one person in here, maybe two people. You watch that Walking Dead show. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about? It's that zombie show that's been on for a couple seasons now. You watch Walking Dead. I don't know how y'all sleep at night. Because I've watched that kind of stuff, and man, I go to bed and I'm dwelling on zombies and nonsense like that.
A lesson in humanity.
A lesson in humanity. I told you all about the first time after we moved out here, I'm laying in bed and the coyotes came through one night. Man, I sat straight up. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? It sounded like people being murdered out in the yard here. And I don't know what to do. Do I lay here and let it attack me? Will they get through the windows? And I mean, it scared me to death. I asked my wife, and I said, did you hear that? My wife, oh, I didn't hear nothing. Because she never hears anything. Bomb can go off right out here in the road, and she doesn't hear it. And I told her what had happened, and she said, well, why didn't you get up and look out the window? I said, no way! I'm like, you're crazy. That stuff coming and get me then. I mean, stop and think about it. Where we dwell is so important. If we are constantly dwelling in those places where it's anxious and where it's fearful and where there's crime and where there's all destruction and death and all these things, man, we're just gonna be tore up in life. We're gonna worry about everything. But if we're dwelling in the shelter of the Most High God, the shadow of the Almighty, listen, nothing phases us. And if it does, we have that momentary, oh my goodness, but wait a second. God's sovereign. God's in control. And see, so if we're dwelling there, and if we're in that shadow of the Almighty, our text goes on and says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Listen, it's going to come out our mouths. And I'm not talking about this name it and claim it kind of stuff. I'm going to say, we have to acknowledge in our hearts, and we have to let it come out of our mouths, God is my refuge. God is my fortress during this time. God is the one that I will place my trust in. Because I find myself today dwelling in His shadow, in the shelter of the Most High God. See, we've got to be able to know where we're at and to be able to proclaim where we're at and acknowledge that God is our refuge. We've got to be able to know and proclaim that He is our fortress. That He is the God in whom we trust. So when everybody's running out and are causing riots and buying up all the toilet paper in Marion County, listen, God's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's the one that I'm going to trust in. No matter what the circumstances may be. No matter where I find myself physically in the next month, I'm going to trust in the one who is my fortress, the one who is my strength. But am I going to be able to find Him as my refuge, as my fortress, as my God, as the one that I trust in if I'm not dwelling consistently and constantly there with Him? I think it's important that we stop and we ask ourselves today, what do I know about my God right now, today? Anytime there's a crisis situation, you need to come back and say, what do I know right now at this moment about God? And hopefully, you'll do what we learned months and months ago as we preached through the book of 1 John. We don't trust our feelings. We go by what we know. And what we know is what Scripture tells us about the living God. That's what we're going to stand on, regardless of what's going on around us. And here's where we come into that funny part of the text. I say funny part because we can misinterpret this. Because it says, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Thousands may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Tell that to the apostles. Tell that to the early church fathers. Tell that to the first couple centuries of believers. Tell them that all they got to do is just name it and claim it, brother, and none of this stuff is going to happen to you because God's our shelter. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our fortress. We trust Him. So none of this is going to happen. And sometimes it's difficult to reconcile what we see going on in our lives. And say, but God, I'm dwelling in You. And Father, you know, I'm resting in Your in the shelter of You. And I'm trusting in You, my refuge and my fortress. I'm trusting that You're the God of creation. And yet, Lord, this stuff is happening to me. And it's hard to reconcile that. And sometimes all we can say is, God is God, and God is sovereign. And at the end of the day, because I belong to Christ, because at the end of the day I'm clothed in His righteousness and my salvation is secure in Him, it doesn't matter if one of these things or all of these things happen to me. My eternity is secure with Him. The light and momentary sufferings of this world are nothing compared with eternity with Christ. It's funny how he starts out right there at the very beginning talking about He who dwells. And as we get to verse 9, after we cover all these terrible things that can possibly happen, he comes back. He comes back to verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. The Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen with this coronavirus. Man, I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow if I wake up with a runny nose. Last Sunday, I was worried about this huge sty in my eye. What's tomorrow going to bring? I don't know. Turn back to Psalm 27. Verse 5. This is David in the Psalm. Psalm 27, verse 5. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon the rock. That's what He's going to do for me. I just come back to the question again. Where are you dwelling? Where's your heart at this morning? Are you dwelling with the living God? Is your heart and soul focused on staying in His shelter that He provides for us? In your heart, in your head, are you abiding in that shadow? And I don't know, about you, but when we talk about abiding, to me that is a consistent thing, a constant thing. I can't afford to jump out of my foxhole in this world. You know what I mean? I can't afford to stick my head out around that cover. I need to abide there faithfully, obediently. And just so you know, when I came around that wall that one day up there in Redick, man, I missed like the first 20 shots that came down range at me. And you know what happened? Here's the thing. I tried to get back to cover. I made a fatal flaw. I clung to the wall. And you're going, how was that bad? Well, this is what happens. When you cling to a wall in a firefight, guess where the people shoot? At the wall. And I took about 12 shots right up my left side because they were taking the rounds and they were bouncing them off the wall and consistently hitting me. The guys that were in the middle, they didn't get hit. See, we need to stay in our cover. We need to stay dwelling in that place with Him. We need to stay in that place where we abide in His shadows. Why do you think castles had moats? Why do you think they had moats around them and a drawbridge and they had those great big walls and those towers and all that? Because it was a place of safety. It was a place of refuge. It was a fortress. If I remember right, years ago when I was in Moscow, I learned a very interesting little lesson that just made sense. I don't know if you've all seen pictures of what they call the Kremlin in Moscow. Huge, huge walls. It's the original part of the city where the government, you know, houses a lot of the very important offices. And I didn't know until a Russian Christian shared it with me. Kremlin. You know what it means? A mighty fortress. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the Kremlin. I'm going, wow, that's a really good illustration. Because I want to reside in that mighty fortress. I want to reside in that place of refuge. When the world goes crazy, that's where I want to be found. Not necessarily out here, but here. Here. I want to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. I don't want God to look down and go, dog, where'd Rob go this time? I want God, every time He looks down, to say, yep, there's my children. Yep, there's Rob, and there's Jim, and there's Harvey, and there's Diane. They're all right here in my shelter. Yep, they're all right here in my shadow. Yep, they're all right here covered by my pinions, under my wings, found in my refuge. It doesn't matter what happens outside. I told him in Sunday school this morning, listen, bottom line is, you can take every precaution you want. You can wear the mask, you can stay locked up in your house, you can put on a hazmat suit. If it's your time, it's your time. Whether it's coronavirus or a heart attack or whatever it is, rest under the shelter of the Most High. And then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about the pestilence or the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. You don't have to worry about the pestilence that's in the dark, even if it is a mountain lion back here in the back. Because you're going to be right where God wants you. I'm glad today that we're all here. I'm glad that people came to church today. You know why? Because right now, if you don't do it for the rest time, you're dwelling in the presence of the Most High. Because that's what our worship does. As we come together, we put ourselves in the presence of the living God, and we offer up praise and we offer up thanksgiving to Him. If no other time for the next week, today you find yourself in the shadow of the Almighty. It was interesting that Jim Elliot, one of the books that was written about him, was entitled In the Shadow of the Almighty. And yet, him and four other men were counted as a sacrifice at the hands of the Alcas in 1955, I think it was. He found himself in the shadow of the Almighty, even then in his death. Where are you at today? Ask yourself, am I dwelling in the shelter of the Most High God? Am I dwelling in that shelter of the Most High God? Am I abiding in that shadow of the Almighty? Because it's there that we find our refuge. It's there that we find that He is our fortress. And it's there that we find ourselves trusting the most in a sovereign God who is in control. You know what? I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know. Maybe this is a lot worse than I anticipated this time. I read that book and I saw that miniseries called The Stand by Stephen King. I might not see any of you next week. But I know this. God's in control of this. Didn't surprise Him. And rather than worrying about toilet paper and all those crazy things, let's worry about whether or not we're dwelling and abiding with our Heavenly Father today. That's what's important. I think the next song that we got coming up, it's actually titled, Jesus, I Am Resting. I'm going to rest in Christ today. And I would encourage you all to rest in Christ and not worry about this. Dwell with Him today. We're going to sing this last song, and I know I'm probably done way early than what I normally am. But we're going to sing this last song, and I'm going to encourage you to come up here if you feel led and kneel down and pray. Or you can kneel down right where you're at and pray. Go before your Heavenly Father and dwell with Him, Daryl. The people trust in Christ. Once you go home today, once you turn the TV off, once you put the phone down, put the tablet down, and once you take a look at the ones that you're with, once you love on them. Once you spend time with your family, once you spend time in continuing to worship the living God, Maybe that's why this whole corona thing has happened, to bring people back to focusing on each other, back to looking at God and looking at family, looking at what's right, to draw us closer to each other as families and as a church. Let's pray. Father, do a work in us. Father, before you can even remotely bring a revival to this community, there needs to be a revival inside each one of us. There needs to be a passion and a zeal for the gospel message to go out into this community. And Father, we just ask, Lord, we beseech you that you would take these letters and you would touch the lives of people for your gospel and draw them into your kingdom by the power and working of your Spirit. Father, do a work in us and in this community, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.